Uncensored.
I'm fucking beside myself. What the fuck is going on with our team? It's just. Ah! Fuck! Dude, it's like every fucking year, dude, they do this, man, like fucking Groundhog Day. I'm fucking a sadist, man. They got me locked up in the fucking jungle dungeon, and I'm in shackles here, getting fucking Mandingo violating me. And I keep going back to the dungeon for more. Fuck that. I don't know, man. I just... Dude, the Glazers gotta fucking napalm the whole fucking One Buck Palace, man. They gotta fucking napalm it, man. Just fucking blow it up. It's fucking done. I mean, I don't know, man. I mean, I'm a Bucks fan. That ain't gonna change, but this fucking year's a wash. I don't know what the fuck's gonna happen next year. I mean, who's gonna be our GM? Are they gonna even fucking do the right thing and hire the right guy to fucking hire these guys? Or are we just gonna get some Joe Jabroni fucking first year GM and some fucking water boy or fucking first time coach, and hopefully we fucking get a LA Rams deal? I don't know, dude. I'm beside myself, man. I spend good money on my tickets, man. I leave my kids, man. Leave my family. Me and my wife go to the game, but there's some other shit I could do with my money, man. Motherfuckers. It's fucking larceny, man. I mean, speaking of larceny, I think the fucking Bucks, the Glazers, should go down there, call Mungo up with the big motherfucking stick, and stop bashing heads, man, because they're fucking being robbed too. Fuck! Oh, man, this is like fucking watching my fucking home being burnt down, and I gotta fucking say, oh, there's insurance. I gotta sit and fucking watch the whole fucking thing burn down. Maybe get a little hose and try to fucking sprinkle a little water on the fucking inferno, but I can't. This is fucked. I'm sorry, I went over, brother, but this is just fucked. I tell you guys to speak softly, but tell the Bucks what you think, like Justin says. Fuck me!
Bucks Uncensored is brought to you by Buffalo Wild Wings, $5 game day pitchers of Bud Light, Coors Light, and Miller Light, and $5 cocktails, cheeseburgers, and brats. When football is on, you have to be at Buffalo Wild Wings. Price and participation may vary. Buffalo Wild Wings, wings, beer, sports. At Mastro Subaru, you've got guys running that dealership that are stick carriers just like each and every one of you. And because of that, they are giving you a special deal that nobody else gets. Go to Mastro Subaru, whether it's in Orlando or right here in Tampa off of Hillsborough Avenue near the Veterans. Tell them you're a stick carrier and you get special stick carrier pricing just for being a Bucks fan. It's that simple. New and pre-owned vehicles, they've got a huge selection. You go in, tell them you're a Bucks fan, tell them you're a stick carrier, and they're going to take some money off of that price just for you. Mastro Subaru with two locations in Orlando and Tampa. Check them out at MastroSubaru.com.
This is a real movement of real people. You can't stop this movement. You can tell us to cool it or else it's not going to work. You're self-sustaining.
I'm tired of low expectations. I know what we about.
fix it, I'd do it right now, but I don't know what that is.
What the fuck? Somebody that knows somebody that knows something about it. Unbelievable. Being able to hear the passion pouring out of Lou's mouth. Yeah, I think he speaks for a lot of Bucks fans. We love this team. We love this organization. We love the opportunity to have an NFL team in our town representing our city. But let's not make this out to be more than what it is. It is not a necessity. It is not something you need to survive. All our NFL franchise is, or any NFL franchise, or any sports franchise, is they're just an escape. They're an escape from your jobs. They're an escape from your families. They're an escape from your problems. They're an escape. It's an entertainment dollar. I have said this from the beginning, and I believe it true even more so right this very minute. Spending money has no correlation to you as a fan. And any single individual that would question the quote-unquote type of fan you are because you do or don't go to games is an individual you don't want to be around. Fuck you for judging me on how I'm going to spend my money that I earned by busting my ass. And guess what? Being successful, which is unlike the players I'm paying to go fucking see. So Lou and any other Bucks fan, it's your money. It's not the team's money. It's not the Glazers' money. It's not the players' money. It is your money. And for Lou, along with many of you, to question the thousands upon thousands of dollars spent each season and the time away from your kids and family, and the stress this has caused us each and every Sunday, this is the exact opposite of what an escape from reality is supposed to be. But then again, it truly is an escape. Maybe even more so than them being good. Because I'll be damned if any of us are thinking about our personal lives when we're this fucking pissed during these games on Sunday. Am I right? I know for damn sure I'm not thinking about a sale that I could make on Monday when I'm watching my defense get fucking shredded on the daily. When I got a coach that continues to stand at a podium and say, if I could put my finger on one thing, I would change it. Well, you're the head coach. And listen,
I would say right now 95 to 99% of Bucks fans are done with Cutter. And I would say about 70 to 80% of fans are done with Light. But let's start with Cutter for a moment. I'm already seeing it. Good. You can't keep having a revolving door at coach and think you're going to have success. I know I'm going to say this more than once. The definition of insanity is doing the same thing over and 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 over again and expecting a different result. And Cutter hasn't been here 3 years. He's been here 4 years. And Light has been here. Lovey was here 2 years, and Cutter's been here three. So 5 years for Light? So just stick with him, because eventually it'll just fix itself. Come on. Come on. I think most of us wanted Cutter to be successful. I don't think anyone had a knee-jerk reaction. Fire him, fire him, fire. I don't think anyone, I think everyone was like, okay, he's coming back. All right, come on. Because you want to believe in what he has said, but his actions have not equaled the words from 2016. And thus, we are no longer speaking softly. We're lighting an end of our big motherfucking sticks. We're busting them out. And we are the Bucks mob. You want to create a mob scene? No better group of fans. It's not an isolated group. This could finally be the thing that brings all Bucks fans together. And I have said it. It has been my focus since I was 5 years old. I just want my team to win. I don't care who the coach is. I don't care who the general manager is. I don't care who the quarterback is or any fucking player on that team. All I care about is, will my team get the job done on Sunday? They didn't under Raheem Morris. They didn't under Greg Schiano. They didn't under Lovey Smith. And they have not for Dirk Cutter. And I go back to that definition of insanity. 3-5 his first year, 2-6 his second year, 3-5 his third year. It is a pattern to be done with any playoff talk by November. Beginning of November is here. Oh my God, we got to be out of the playoffs because we're not allowed to talk about them anymore. I mean, that's how it feels as a fucking Bucks fan. And if you don't think Dirk Cutter and Ryan Fitzpatrick have to pull a gigantic rabbit out of their asshole to have any chance of Cutter remaining as head coach next year. I mean, they've got to go on a miraculous run that is so far beyond Fitzpatrick's magic. I mean, fuck, he's going to have to be Gandalf the White, and he's going to have to be fucking Dumbledore and fucking the wizard from fucking Sword in the Stone and any other goddamn fucking piece of shit that has any magical presence about them. It has got to be all rolled up and shoved up the ass of Ryan Fitzpatrick so that he can fucking shoot sparks out of his fucking fingers, because that's the only way this team is going to miraculously figure out how to stop the run. I'm all choked up. How to stop the run, how to stop the pass, how to fucking run the ball for once in their fucking lives, how to make field goals. But other than that, they're throwing the ball really well. Fuck. One aspect of your entire team you're doing well, and what, are we supposed to take our pants off and just run around and helicopter it? Yeah, I pulled it out, Outlaw. Outlaw, you know, he's all big with the helicopters. But what the hell? Listen, and I go through that miraculous thing to say this. Cutter's seat is so hot, he can't even fucking sit down. Imagine this, Bucks fans, NFL fans, or any football fan. Your coach, your head coach, after his team started 2-0, fell apart, defense is on its path to being the worst in history. And guess what? We said the same thing under Raheem Morris. We said the same thing under Greg Schiano. We said the same thing under Lovie Smith. And this might be the absolute fucking worst of all those fucking coaches. This defense. Holy shit. Cutter. Okay, forget Cutter. A head coach of a football team fires his defensive coordinator, best friend forever, fired him midseason. Benched his starting 24-year-old quarterback. Well, he was throwing interceptions, and Mike Smith's defense is terrible. And those are two of the biggest moves you can make in an offseason. He made both of them within a matter of days. You don't think this is desperate times for the head coach? Again, barring a miracle, the coaching search is on. And you can be honest. How many of you have started looking at the top coordinator candidates? How many of you have thought about who a new GM could be if they make a move there? And how many of you took my advice and started thinking about a fucking president to finally run this thing the right way? Listen, I'm not anti-Glazer like some of you. I think they want to win. They have invested the money. They have wasted so much money on coaches over the years. I think if we went back and looked at the dead money they paid to Raheem Morris, Greg Schiano, Lovie Smith, and what's going to come to Dirk Cutter, you're talking about likely, what was Raheem getting? 3 to 4 a year. Schiano, what, around 4 a year? He had a couple of years left. Raheem had a couple of years left. So if it's 4 a year for those, that's 16. Lovie had a couple of years left at 5. So now we're looking at 26, maybe 30. And then whatever Cutter ends up. I mean, you could be talking about $40 million just given away because they made wrong choices at head coach. Now, they make a lot of money. But we can't call them cheap. They've spent money in free agency. They've wasted money on coaches. They've spent money on coaches and then paid coaches to leave. I don't think they're cheap. I just don't think that they have much of an NFL background. And I don't think that they know what they're doing when it comes to hiring a GM coach pairing. Again, just like Dirk Cutter, you want him to succeed. I want Jason Light to succeed. I like him as a person. And I do think that he has brought in talent, but he hasn't built a team. Well, what does that mean? I had somebody ask me, what does that mean? Of course, people ask these open-ended questions on Twitter. Listen, if you think that I'm going to sit down and do tweet after tweet after tweet after tweet and just type you out a novel, ain't happening. It's what I love about Twitter. I don't have to type a novel. I used to write for websites. Hell, I used to publish a website. I hated typing. I type all day, every day anyway. You think I want to type more? But let me say this. I do think that he has brought in talented players. The roster is more talented now than it was when he took over. But there has never been a gelling. There's never been chemistry. There has never been a unity. We talk about unity within the fan base. There's never been a unity in the locker room. He refused to make any bold moves with any players who were already here. He's gone out and tried to get guys, and just they haven't been able to find the leaders and the players that can hold other players accountable. And I'm starting to think it's the entire fucking locker room. The locker room's a mess. It is an absolute mess. They can say whatever they want. Okay, the more people I talk to, it's a mess. These players are going to, if they aren't already, playing for themselves. And I'd be surprised if they haven't been playing for themselves since they entered the league with this team, or if they came to this team from another team. I think you got a lot of selfish players in that locker room. A lot of players that don't play together. Levante David had a play on Sunday. Many of you remember Christian McCaffrey's long run on the sideline. Did he step out? Did he not step out? Well, let's rewind it a little bit. Warren Sapp on his Instagram did a video, took that video of that play, and just broke it down. I wanted to see if I could, let me see if I could pull that audio. Hold on.
Eight-man front going wrong. Holy Toledo, come on. This is not a hard play. Come on. Right here. Right there. Right there. When you playing this defense and they pull and tug around, the train is free and you got the lineman running. Got to go outside and make this running back cut right back. There's your free hitter. Just that simple. No more, no less. Come outside, make him go back inside, and there's your free hitter. You go inside, he's outside. Now there's nobody there but the defender outside. Ugh. Come on. Come on. Come on.
So on that play, Warren Sapp is breaking down Christian McCaffrey going to the outside. Levante David reads the play well, gets to the outside. If Levante David keeps working outside and makes McCaffrey cut inside, Jordan Whitehead's right there, makes the tackle, probably for a minimal gain. Maybe 2, maybe 3 yards. You had a guy on either side, and then Whitehead unblocked right in the middle. Levante David plants his foot. He goes inside. McCaffrey bounces it outside. Whitehead can't get there, and he's off to the races. Off to the races so much that Brian Baldinger, who also broke this play down, said the Panthers were just having a party out there. Just having a party. Making the Bucks look like fools. So Warren Sapp posts this on his Instagram. I don't think he said anything crazy right there. And I know he was being kind of vague. You got to go and watch the video. Watch the video. And then you'll have his commentary as you watch it. And you'll be like, damn. To me, as an offensive player, boy, I mean, as a former offensive lineman, I would love to turn a defender inside and allow my running back to bounce it to the outside. Love it. That's what you're looking for. Levante David plants his foot and goes inside. Now, I have multiple questions here. By the way, that's football 101, right? It's football 101. Turn the guy inside, especially a scat back like Christian McCaffrey, who's got the speed and is looking to bounce it outside. At 200 pounds, make him go inside. But I guess I'm wrong. I guess a Hall of Famer is wrong. And this is where the problem lies in this locker room. What have we talked about for 5, 7, 9 years? No leadership and no accountability. You made a mistake under Monty Kiffin's defense with Sapp, Brooks, and Lynch leading it? Holy shit. Don't even come to the sideline. Do not even come to the sideline. Warren Sapp gives his opinion of this play. I'll read the responses first, and then I've got questions to ask. Levante David responds and says, dead wrong. Dead wrong. So Christian McCaffrey is doing a sweep to the right. Levante David is flowing. And instead of continuing to work his way outside and force McCaffrey in, Levante David plants his foot and shoots inside. Okay. But dead wrong. Dead wrong. Not just wrong. Dead wrong. Oh, and it wasn't just Levante David who couldn't take some criticism. Quan Alexander jumps in. Bro, to Levante David, bro, they don't know what they be talking about. Crying, laughing emoji. They don't know what they be talking about? You're talking about a fucking Hall of Famer, dumbass. You're talking, I don't give a fuck what you think about Warren Sapp as a person. He was a leader, cornerstone of one of the best defenses of all time. And he was dominant as a player. Dominant as a player. Not one player on the Bucks' current team has dominated a game. Dominated a game. Sapp did it on the norm. I think the only player I can think of as just dominating, taking over a game, would probably be Mike Evans, right? Nobody, fucking McCoy's never dominated a game. The linebackers have never dominated a game. Nobody in the secondary's ever dominated a game. Fuck, there's no fucking running back on the team that could even dominate a college game. And who else? Jameis hasn't dominated a game. I mean, he's had some good games, but dominated? To where you're just in awe? Sapp did it a few times a year, probably. And you could always bank on him and that entire defense showing up, not just because Sapp was a great player and a talented player. This goes back to building a team, not bringing in talent, just talented players. Sapp, Brooks, and Lynch held everyone accountable on that defense, which is why the defense showed up and played the way they did each and every week. Quan Alexander wasn't done. So right after Quan Alexander says, bro, they don't know what they be talking about in regards to Warren Sapp, he goes, he just like them MFs, and literally put the letters MFS. I'm sorry, did you just call Warren Sapp a motherfucker? As in, he doesn't know what the fuck he's talking about? He's just some motherfucker running his mouth? I'm back on the crazy pills, right? I mean, I think I'm going crazy, right? Did the two Bucks linebackers who have been voted captains for one of the worst defenses in NFL history just call Warren Sapp a Hall of Famer, captain, and leader of one of the best defenses of all time? A motherfucker? In saying he doesn't know what the fuck he's talking about? Holy shit. Levante David responds to Quan. So Quan Alexander says, bro, they don't know what they be talking about. He just like them MFs. Levante David, at all. Just puts at all. And they feeding off of it. Feeding off of what? That you cut inside and McCaffrey went outside? I'll ask the questions in a moment. Some fans chimed in. Then Warren Sapp, right at Levante David. Who are you typing at? Warren Sapp, Quan, to Quan. Who? Quan Alexander. You. Speaking of that, guess who snuck up in my DMs? The red-haired wonder himself. I shot it down. Oh, we went back and forth a little bit. I'm not going to share what was said. It's private. But he didn't have much to say after I said my piece. So I've got questions before I get to some of these Bucks takes. I got some questions. And this is just me making an assumption, an educated one. Because I think we can assume now either Mike Smith was so horrific as a defensive coordinator that he taught his linebackers to sprint outside on a stretch play, but then cut inside, allowing the running back to get outside, which is, again, the opposite of what most of us have learned from the beginning, which is football 101, the fundamentals. Or Levante David got out of position, tried to make a play on his own. Okay. Tried to make a play, didn't, and allowed a big play. You know what they call that? Do you know what they call that under Tony Dungy, Monty Kiffin, Warren Sapp, Derek Brooks, and John Lynch? Selfish. That's what it's called. Do your job. So my question is, was that Levante David's job? Has he been coached to plant his foot and go inside an offensive lineman? Or has he been taught, like every other linebacker or most linebackers in history, to make the play go back inside because that's where all your defenders are? But you know what? Call a Hall of Famer a motherfucker. Hell, call me a motherfucker. Because I also, too, know the fundamentals of football. We got any other motherfuckers out there? Got any MFs? Ugly. Those are your captains. Cannot accept any criticism. It's not my fault. This organization has been full of excuses for the last 10 years. I'm done with it. I'm done with it. When somebody in the media throws some bullshit out there, what do? We call them out on it. Well, you know what? When players on our team are throwing bullshit out, we're going to call them out on it. If these players aren't going to hold each other accountable, then damn it, the mob will. This is Bucks Uncensored.
Bucks Uncensored.
Bucks Uncensored is brought to you by Cigar City Beer. Local to the Tampa Bay area, Cigar City Beer has been a staple in this community for years and years and years. It is my absolute favorite. Anytime you've seen me out at a draft party, at a watch party, anytime we have gotten together, my beer of choice has always been the Cigar City High Life. But whether you're a Cigar City High Life fan, an Invasion fan, Florida Cracker fan, whatever they got at Cigar City, you know it is going to be good and you know it's going to be tasty. Go to the tasting room there on Spruce Street. Be sure to taste all of their wonderful craft beers and you know, while you're there, talk a little Bucks. Hey, listen, we all love our team. We all love this city. And why not love a beer that is synonymous with the city it resides in? Cigar City Beer. Check it out at any local liquor store or restaurant. If that restaurant does not have Cigar City, you make sure they give them a call and get it there. You know what I'm saying? Bucks takes are now, and people are upset, angry, fired up. I mean, there's a wide range of emotions with some of the Bucks fans we got. So let's jump right into it. We shall start with my man X. Hello, X.
Shouts out to the sponsors. Shouts out to my homie for many, 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 many of years, Justin Pulowski. Hey, Jay, check this out. I don't understand what's going on with our team. The defense can't cover a baby stroller in the park. I don't get it. Offense, I don't know why they took Jameis out. I believe Jameis could have did better than what they did. We wouldn't have been in the chase after that. People telling them, hey, Carolina's going to do this reverse, double reverse, triple reverse. Be on the lookout for it. Okay, triple reverse come, touchdown. Really pissed off with this team. I have no words for the Tampa Bay Buccaneer organization. Y'all suck. Y'all got these little shiesty, mediocre coaches that be sitting in these million-dollar buildings planning for a game. And when the game comes, they look like damn high school coaches. I don't get it. So we need to get better coaches, man, because you got an elite team, elite player, offensive line, Donovan Smith, all these cats. They just, I don't know. I'll fire all of them. I'll holler at you, except Ryan Jensen. Jensen, I'm the only person – I don't know if I'm the only person seeing Jensen running down the field when it's a run play, but I'm out. Love y'all. Stick carriers, I'm out. One.
Yeah, I mean, listen, you can call. We're still stick carriers, right? We just don't speak softly anymore. And the sticks we're carrying, they're lit up, okay? It's a mob mentality. But X, you know, X is the one that calls in. He's angry. He's yelling. He's screaming. Listen to his voice. Listen to his voice. Said we would talk about Jameis Winston on this podcast. Whether or not it's smart to play Jameis Winston the rest of this year, I'll share my response to that in just a moment. First, Tobias.
Hey, what's good, Commish? This is Tobias out of Phoenix. Birthday is on Thursday. I'm turning a big 4-0. Hopefully, that's a good early birthday gift that, hey, you'll play this Bucks take. If I made the cutoff. But you already know Dirk Cutter's not a good head coach. I've been saying it. He's not a leader of men. You know, he throws everybody else under the bus. He never says, hey, it's on me. I didn't get them ready. Now, I'm a big Alabama fan, born and raised, been living in Phoenix since Dirk Cutter was the coach of Arizona State. Now, I'm going to compare the coaches of my two favorite teams. When Saban first took over LSU, he told that team, all right, took over Alabama in their first play at LSU, I'm sorry. He told his team, dominate the man in front of you and make his ass quit. Toughness, physical, nasty. Setting that tone. Dirk doesn't do that. Remember when Sean Payton slapped him on the chest and Dirk just took it. Evolution. Saban evolved with the times. Had trouble with the spread quarterbacks. Changed the way he did defense. Gotten lighter, faster players on defense. Offense, hire offensive coaches who could coach that spread type of offense. And now he won a couple more championships. Dirk Cutter, hey, let's just do it 1995. The same offense and your team is struggling. And even with leadership, Saban just benched Jalen Hurts, who went to two straight national championship games, and Jalen Hurts still part of this team. Jameis got benched, and it's like Dirk Cutter doesn't even console the kid. Because remember, Jameis is still only 24 years old. It's like he just left him out to dry. The Bucks don't just need to get a new coach, man. They need a coach who is a leader of men. Thanks for taking my Bucks take.
You got it, Tobias. So the question is now, all right, 3-5. Dirk Cutter's never going to admit they're out of it, right? I mean, because he knows once they're out of it officially, like it's only a matter of time. But at 3-5 in a very, very difficult NFC, and don't just look at the records, okay? Let's look at the teams. Hey, this is tough. Even with an easy stretch of games for the Bucs, and I had a buddy of mine saying, hey, listen, Redskins, Giants, 49ers, they could win 3 in a row. I was like, what do you think all three of those teams are talking about with the Bucs? Yeah, sure, the Bucs can throw the ball some, but they can't stop anyone, and they damn sure aren't going to run the football. They might be the Giants. Giants, I mean, it's... whatever. Here's the deal. If the Bucs are out of it, if the Bucs are in it, I don't know if I want to see Jameis Winston. This has nothing to do with Jameis Winston, other than this is a mess. And if it continues to get worse, I mean, you're talking about a guy's psyche who's already been, I mean, to me, it's almost like, yes, he has brought some on himself, but I think he's also dealing with a lot of shit in the locker room and his coaches. And I mean, it's a mess. There should not be one Bucs fan that does not want Jameis Winston to succeed. Why wouldn't you want him? He's 24 years old. I don't want to start over. I don't want another rookie quarterback. I don't have to go through all this bullshit again. But I also know that Jameis Winston isn't going to have success with what is in this locker room and leading this team right now. So why would I want to throw him out there and have him make more mistakes and just continue? You might as well take a bat and just bash his head in. I just doubt, well, he should be mentally strong and he should be that. He's 24 years old. As Tobias just said, he's 24 years old. Ron Rivera comes out last week and says, you know what? No matter what happened with Cam Newton, we stood by him. No matter what the fans said, no matter what the media said, no matter all the bad games. And remember, Cam Newton had some bad games early on in his career. He ran the ball some, but he could not throw the football. But what did Ron Rivera? He stood by his guy. Stood by his guy, built him up. Because, listen, a lot of us, a lot of people mature a lot between the ages of 23 to 27. For me, it was probably 26 to 31-ish. But, I mean, I don't know what positive you're going to get out of just throwing Jameis out there. Especially if he's not going to be running this offense. If there's going to be some turnover with the players, if he's already fragile when it comes to his psyche, if he's already looking over at his coach because his coach is ready to just pull the trigger on him, it's just, I don't know. I'm kind of hesitant on that. I don't know if it's a hard no for me, but I'm kind of leaning no. Like, what am I going to get out of it? Oh, I get to see Jameis Winston? I'm not in this to just see Jameis Winston. I don't want to see Jameis Winston in an offense that doesn't suit him in a situation that is a lose-lose situation and then be like, what? Ooh, I hope he has success today. I'm not rooting for a player. I'm rooting for a team. Period. And I'm not going to root for them to win or lose the rest of the year. Because, hey, we've had high draft picks and we've had middle-of-the-road draft picks. Quite frankly, their best pick in the last few years was O.J. Howard, and he was like the 18th pick. So what are we going to do? We're going to lose a bunch of games so we can get a higher pick? Not me. Just do your thing. I'm going to evaluate and think about what could be, what they could go after, and what next year could look like. And I'm going to watch the games, and I'm sure I'll cheer when they score. I'm not going to root for them to lose, though. I'm just going to be like, I'm kind of going to be numb to it. And I think that's where a lot of you are getting, is just kind of numb. Because it's not just 2018. This is 2008 to 2018. 10 years will make you go numb. That's where we are. JB is up next. Hello, JB.
Justin, JB from Section 106. Fundamentals of football, win at home. Bucks are 2-1 at Ray J this season. They can go 3-1 with a win against Washington on Sunday. And although 4-5 isn't awesome, it's fucking better than 3-6. So I just want this team to find that missing fire that JPP, I mean, I respect the guy a ton. He came in to Tampa, has been playing, you know, great, making sacks, pretty much the only defensive lineman, you know, really, you know, carrying his weight, although Steve's been pretty good here and there. But he got a fucking win at home, and that's football 101. And this Washington team's missing, three starters, I think, up front. So defensive line has to fucking show up. Vita Vea can't be getting knocked around. You need to show some heart, guys. Fans are really just on the verge of losing it. You know, I've been a season ticket holder for a few years now, and I'm looking at that entertainment dollar and saying, am I really getting my money's worth with this team? It's a good question. So it's not like it's easy to, you know, drive down I-4 there and back. You have to figure out plans for animals and kids and all this other shit. It's my dollar, and I love going to football games. I love, you know, rooting for the Bucks, and just want to feel like I'm getting a little return on my investment, even if it's just an emotional one. Anyway, go Bucks.
It's definitely not just an emotional one. It's a lot of money. That is an investment. It's a financial investment. It's an emotional investment. It's an investment in a lot of ways. Scott is up in Pennsylvania. It's good to have you back on, Scott.
Justin, Scott from Pennsylvania, calling you from New Jersey, and you're not going to believe this, but I'm literally driving behind a Cigar City Brewing truck. Cigar City Brewing, born in Tampa, Florida. What are the odds of me sending in a buck steak while I'm following that truck in New Jersey off of Route 78? Amazing. So, let's get to the Bucks. I'm just feeling apathetic like a lot of Bucks fans right now. I was listening to the Stick Carrier Share on Monday's podcast, which, by the way, I was so glad to see it up on iTunes early. It just made it safer for me during the drive to listen to it on iTunes coming up early in the morning on the New Jersey Turnpike. But I had this vision. I had this vision, and especially in looking at that reverse play that the Panthers ran for a touchdown and watching our guys chase them, miss tackles and everything, I go to myself, oh, my God, it's like they're the Harlem Globetrotters and we're the Washington Generals. And we played just like that. And I think we have ever since, for the most part, the Pittsburgh game. And it seems like the turning point was on that Deshaun Jackson punt return that just didn't count because of the penalty. I just see it as a huge turning point. But this season's over, in my opinion. We're irrelevant in November. I'm still going to go to a couple of the road games, still a couple of the home games. I'm going to root for my team. But my expectations are rock bottom right now. So go Bucks. That's all I can say. Not going to do speak softly or anything like that. Just going to say go Bucks, and when's the draft party? Thanks to all the sponsors, Joe Bucks fan, and of course Cigar City Brewing. I'll tweet that out to you. And let's hang in there, Stick Carriers. There's always the draft party. I'm out.
Oh man, I just love that. I mean, I know we shouldn't be talking about the NFL draft, but the amount of you that have posted about the 2019 Bucks Uncensored Draft Party just tickles my pickle. And, yeah, I'm looking forward to it, too. Should be exciting. Should be a lot of people. And it should be even better than it was last year. How about them apples? Let's go up to Oregon. Brandon is there. Hey, Brandon.
Kamish. It's Papa Bucks out in Oregon. I might have to change my Twitter handle. I've kept that moniker forever, but I don't know. I'm not ready to go there yet. But anyways, I don't know what exactly could be said, but I'll just say this for me on a personal level. These guys, and I hope they listen to this podcast and they hear what we say, as true diehard fans, what we have to say about it. But at least for the players, know this, that now your fucking job's on the line, whether you're going to be back or not. Play with some fucking pride. Play like you fucking want it. Play like you want to be on a team, if not ours, any team, next year. I'm not expecting us to go undefeated. I'm not even really expecting us to win one more fucking game. But I am expecting these guys to at least fucking show up. If you're not getting coached up, fuck that. It's not on the fucking coaches at this point. You're professional fucking football players. Play like it. Play like you want the best contract in the league. Just fucking do it. Throw all the other shit out. Just fucking play your ass off. Play like it's your last fucking game. Because guess what? If you don't, it might just very well be your last season in football. That's how fucking bad you are. That's all I gotta say. As always, I love you guys. Thank you to all the sponsors. And that's it. I'm out.
Such dejection. And you Bucks fans. And I don't blame you. Thank you, Brandon. Good to hear from you. Hope things are going well up in Oregon. Let's get Ryan on. What? All the way up in Alaska. Whoa!
Justin, Stick Carriers. It's Ryan from Alaska. I've been in hiding for the past couple weeks. You know, it's been tough following this team. The emotional roller coaster they put you on week in, week out. And I've come to the realization that being a Bucks fan is basically like being in a really shitty, abusive relationship. You know, 1 week they're giving you a nice little massage, you know, whispering sweet nothings in your ear. And then the next, you find out they're fucking your best friend. So, yeah, it's pretty much what it's like being a Bucks fan right now. I hope that changes soon, but anyway, I just posted in the Facebook group about us cleaning house with the coaching staff, just getting rid of everybody except for Munkin and Buckner, and I've since changed my mind. Clean everybody. Get everybody the fuck out. Everyone. We need new people in here that are going to bring a fresh new perspective and get a fire under these players' asses to unlock that potential that they all have, that we all see, you know? So anyway, for me, I think the season's pretty much over, and shitty to say, but I'll continue supporting my Bucks up here in Alaska. It's a Bucks life.
Yeah, well, you know what? Why wouldn't you? Why wouldn't you? I mean, like I said, it doesn't matter where you support them. You can be in Alaska. You can be in Tampa. You can be at home. You can be at the stadium. You still want them to win. You can call for change and still want them to win. You're calling for change because you want them to win. I don't have any problem with that. Our final one goes to Chris. Hello, Chris.
Justin, Chris from Toronto here. I gotta say, that was a fucking disgusting effort. Funny thing is, you might think that's the worst defensive performance you've ever seen, but clearly it's not. Atlanta 2014, Chicago 2018. As horrific as that was, it wasn't even bad, and that's saying something. I mean, I just don't understand how the fuck we can play so bad on defense and not make one stop. 35 points in the first half. There were plays, you look at the replay, you've got four or five Buck players on the ground, and McCaffrey's running wild. Samuel's running wild. I just don't understand how it's gotten to this point. Every fucking year. Another thing. This has got to start with leadership. I mean, I'm a big Dirk guy, but I mean, I think Dirk has got to go, because the fact that this keeps happening is, it's on him, it's on Jason Light, it's on everybody. Another fucking thing pisses me off. All these fucking fans on Facebook and everywhere going ape shit crazy on Fitzpatrick, Winston. Holy fuck, doesn't matter who we throw out there. We fucking lose. This is beyond, you know, a quarterback issue. Although, you know, what the organization has done now is just caused so much fucking turmoil. But the fans are as dysfunctional as this organization is. And, you know, I just don't see how this is going to stop. I think at this point, we need new leadership. And I know the Glazers don't usually do this midseason, but I think Cutter's got to go. Do I think it'll change anything? Probably not, because this team lacks physical toughness, as we've seen on the field multiple times, mental toughness, and there's just no desire out there. I mean, this team, how you don't show up to play a fucking division game in November is just beyond me. And, I mean, as a fan, I'm fucking pissed. I'm sad. I'm frustrated. I don't know what to do. I mean, should we all just laugh about it? Because it's too unbelievable and too unreal. Anyways, carry a big motherfucking stick and fucking beat this team down, because that's what they fucking deserve right now.
Oh, wow. Well, I don't really want to beat my own team down with my big motherfucking stick, but we can light it on fire and call for change. I'll go ahead and make a prediction. Oh, God, I'm not going to do this. I'm not going to predict this, but I'm going to just warn you. Do not be surprised if they win the next three games. Redskins at home, Giants and 49ers. Win the next three. Bucks are sitting there pretty at 6-5. And then they end 7-9. And then what are some people going to do? They fought hard till the end. Yay! Same fucking pattern with Dirk Cutter. Lose, you're pretty much out of it. Go on a little streak. Get fans excited. Fall apart at the end. Season over. It's exactly what Dirk Cutter said after the game. Remember when Dirk Cutter said this?
We're in this pattern of we go out, we get behind, we get killed in the second quarter, then we rally like hell in the third quarter, and then you know, everybody thinks we're back in it, and then we fade off at the end. So that's definitely the pattern we're in.
How eerie is that? He just described individual games that we have watched the last few weeks. Get behind, get killed in the second quarter. So, okay, first quarter. Okay, get killed in the second quarter. So, 2-0, 2-2, 3-5. It's halftime. What are they going to do? What did I just say? Going to 3-game win streak? Redskins, Giants, 49ers. Third quarter. Fire. And then fade off at the end. I mean, this is scary shit. He's describing individual games, but essentially he's describing his coaching career year after year. Okay, at the beginning, killed in the second quarter. So we learned this under what, Gruden, when he divided the season up into quarters, first quarter, second quarter, it's four games per quarter. First quarter, okay. Second quarter, get killed. So, in essence, the way Dirk Cutter describes how his team plays during games is how his team plays during seasons. See, in the first quarter this year, Bucks 2-2. Second quarter this year, 1-3, killed. And they needed an overtime win against the Browns, who fired their coach that week, to avoid going 0-4. 0-4. But now, Redskins, Giants, Niners, before hosting the Panthers, and then hosting the Saints. I mean, we're seeing this, right? It's all laid out there. Third quarter, go on a little run. Fourth quarter. So third quarter, go on a little run. Then you have the Panthers to end the third quarter. Then your fourth quarter consists of Saints, Ravens, Cowboys, Falcons. I mean, I don't think they lose all four of those games, but they're not going to need to. See, they've dug themselves such a hole at the beginning of the year. they can't slip up the rest of the year. They can't. You can't have more than six. So you can't lose more than one more game. Good luck. Good luck. Thanks to our sponsors, Buffalo Wild Wings, host of our watch parties, hosted the unbelievably successful, rowdy, and exciting, everyone's already looking forward to it for next year, the Bucks Uncensored Draft Party. We thank Buffalo Wild Wings. Their food continues to get better and better every time I go. It is so worth the money. And they have their $5 game day menu that includes $5 pitchers of Bud Light, Coors Light, Miller Light, $5 select cocktails, $5 burgers and brats. It's all at Buffalo Wild Wings. Wings, beer, sports, Mastro Subaru. Those guys are members of the Bucks mob. They are fully prepared to let their voice be heard. But you can let your voice be heard first by going there and telling them you're also a member of the Bucks mob. By being a mob member, you can create a mob scene at Mastro Subaru once they give you that big discount just for being a member of the Bucks mob. Check it out, Mastro Subaru and MastroSubaru.com. Cigar City Beer, you just heard me talking about it. Whether it's the High Lie, Invasion, Florida Cracker, or any of the Cigar City beers, hey, this is a beer that is local. It is Tampa. It is Cigar City. Let's embrace local. Let's embrace Cigar City at any local liquor store or restaurant. And Christian Headlines Barbershop. Man, I got a Christian, I have to come see you soon. Hair's getting long. Haven't really trimmed it up since I dressed up as Chris Pratt, Star-Lord from Guardians of the Galaxy. And thank you to B4. It's what you drink before you drink. Thanks to each and every one of you. With the Bucks failing as much as they have this season, let's just say this. The passion is there stronger than it's ever been before. My passion is there. Your passion is there. Let's do this together. Let our voice be heard. Let change finally come in a positive way. And let's continue to do it together and to come together. Spread the word. Let's get it out there. And let's unite as one. With one goal, one purpose. Fucking win. And we'll go right back into this. Fucking speak as loudly as you fucking can and light up that big motherfucking torch, you Bucks mob. Nailed it.
Go Bucks.